Andrew said, and who Simon Peter's brother said to him, "There's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" So here's the title of my message this morning that I want to share. But first, let's pray for God to give us a revelation of the loaves and fishes. So this morning, Lord, we need not only a revelation, we need a revolution in our lives. We want the reality of this incredible divine teaching to penetrate our hearts, Lord, and give us an understanding, but give us a greater faith, because that's what Jesus is teaching, a greater faith to flow in our life, in our ministry, in our family, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, here's the title of my message, When Not Enough, you can put it up there, When Not Enough Becomes More Than Enough. Amen? When not enough becomes more than enough. Now, this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish is really a perfect picture of God's power to provide. Now, how many here this morning have an urgent need? How many have an urgent need for God to provide? Amen. I want to let you know God is able. Can somebody say that with me? God is able. Hallelujah. So now understand that all four Gospels agree that there were 5,000 men there. And so some of the Gospels say plus women and children. So Bible historians tell us there were between mostly over 20,000 people at this gathering, attendance at this event. Amen? And it could even be 30,000 people. Now this miracle moment took place during the time of Passover. Let me give you the backdrop. And families were literally making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem from all over the region. Jesus was with his disciples on the mountain. The crowd is going towards Jerusalem, but when they found out it was Jesus, they all gathered on the mountainside to hear his teachings. How many here know when Jesus is in the house, people listen, amen? How many here know when Jesus is in the house, people get healed? How many know that when Jesus is in the house, people get saved? How many here know when Jesus is in the house, people get restored? Come on, how many here know when Jesus is in the house, he does miraculous redeeming things in your life? How many here know Jesus is in the house? Come on. He's in the house. Now, when Jesus saw them coming, I love this. Because as you read the gospel, it says he was moved with compassion. You know, he was moved with compassion. And he began to teach them, and he began to touch them, and he began to pray for them until it was late. Now, understand this scene. Get the picture. And then Jesus does something that catches the disciples by surprise. He asks the question, where can we find bread that all these people may eat? And so in John's gospel, he asked this question to Philip. Why? Why? Because Philip was from Bethsaida. And this is where they were. Luke's gospel, chapter 9, says that the area that they were gathered belonged to Bethsaida. John 12 says this. Philip was from Bethsaida. So here's how the conversation went. Jesus looks at this multitude of people. He says, hey, yo, Phil, where are we going to get some food? We have all this digging, like Jesus is very proper and in order. Who knows? Amen. He was with the boys. Maybe he, you know, because it was a test. So I think Jesus has some humor. I mean, come on, somebody. How many here take mud, spit on mud, put a face? I mean, he does some crazy stuff. So I believe this is how it went. Now watch this. I think he said, hey, Phil, where in your hood? So you must know where a good pizza parlor is. Amen. Or Taco Bell, or some Chinese joint, right? So what do you say we order about 1,000 pizza pies so we can feed the crowd? So what happened? And Philip freaks out. I think Philip just panics. He just loses it, amen? Because the Bible says that when Jesus asked Philip the question, it was to test him. Why? And you got to understand, when Jesus tests you, he knows what he's going to do. You know, when Jesus tests you, there's an answer. When Jesus tests you, Jesus knows what he's going to do in that test. But he allows us to go through the test. Now, note this and don't miss this. How many know, as you walk with the Lord, we walk in faith, not by sight? But how many know here, as we do walk in faith, we go through a whole lot of faith tests? Amen? Why? Because our ways ain't like God's ways. Come on, somebody. Because Isaiah 5 says his ways are so much higher than our ways as the east is from the west. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And what does Proverbs tell us? Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own. How many of you know sometimes we can't shut this mind off? I don't know about you, but I go through that. Maybe you don't. But so it's a test. And he said, and then Jesus, what is he doing? He's challenging Philip's faith. He really is. And he wanted Philip, also the disciples are listening, to flow in the supernatural faith. Hallelujah. And that's what the teaching here for all of us is. As we come to church, what did I say in the beginning? Expectation. As we come to church, we tend to forget that we need to come here with expectation. Amen. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we live by faith. Our whole walk is faith. And sometimes we forget that and we continue to walk in the natural. And Jesus is putting them in check and reminding them, hey, you're in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, when you're in the kingdom of God and you seek first the kingdom of God, what does the Bible say? All things will be added on. Come on, Lisette. The groceries are going to come. Come on, give them some glory. Amen. And so he's challenging him. You know, I was talking to Dominique, and I have a statement. We call it a divine little golden nugget. And I'll say, if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Amen. And then I said to myself that we were talking to, I said, you know what? If Satan brought you to it, God will bring you through it. Come on. If your failure brought you to it, God will bring you through it. If your mistake brought you to it, God will bring you through it. If your flesh brought you to it, God will bring you through it. If by chance you thought you were going to some other church down the block and you stumbled in here, I want to tell you, no matter how you got here, God's going to bless you, because if he brought you to it, he's going to bring you through it. Come on, how many believe in that? So this was a monumental wake-up calling. It's in all the Gospels. It's a teaching. Now, you know, I really wanted to get into this, and I was really, really blessed to dig into this. So let me share a couple more. See, when Jesus, you got to understand, and don't forget, I'm going to repeat, Jesus challenged Philip's faith. He wanted Philip and the disciples to flow with the supernatural. Don't miss that. Now, when Jesus asks you a question, never forget, it's always rhetorical. Do you understand? He's got the answer. He's not looking really for the answer. And, you know, because, you know, but he doesn't need the answer. It's not like, hey, what time is it? Man, I forgot. How many here? You know, when Jesus asks a question, are you hearing me? He's got it. He is the answer. Someone say he is the answer. You know, so he's not looking for the answer. He's all knowing. He already knows the answer. Or he's got the answer. So how do you know he's got the answer? Well, because he is the answer. In John 1 says, all things are made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Come on. He's our all-sufficient God. Whew. Now, when Jesus wants to do something, he already knows how it's going to be done. He already knows. Now, when Jesus asks you to be a part of it, you know what he's doing? He's sending you an invitation to see if you have enough faith to trust him. Now, Lisette gave a great illustration. She laid it all down. And you have done that too. Let me repeat that. When Jesus wants you to do something, he already knows how it's going to be done. When Jesus asks you to be a part of it, he's sending you an invitation to see you have enough faith to trust him. Now, watch this. Don't miss it. Oft times, the invitation is a test. And Lestat, you were talking trying him. You were trying God. You didn't like to use the word test. I get it. You were trying, biblically trying, because, you know, sometimes you don't want to say, I'm testing you, God. She was really testing her own faith, if you really understand it. So because God's going to do it, we just going to get aligned. Amen. And so oftentimes the invitation is a test, and the invitation requires an RSVP. Are you with me? Huh? Huh? It does. Now, how is a test? Watch it. How is it a test? Watch this. He's testing you to see if you'll apply what you've learned from his word, from your faith journey. How often we forget. Amen. How often the disciples forget. Now, he wants to know if you understand where all of your blessings come from. That's what he needs. He wants to know, and he wants you to know. You know how to respond to the RSVP? You want to hear how to respond right to the RSVP? No matter what it is, no matter what test you're going through. Yes, Lord, we got this. We can do it. Yes, Lord, all things are possible. Come on. If more be with us, who can be against us? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond that which we ask. Come on. That's the God we serve. When you're in your test, and you don't understand, just say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you scream it with me? Yes, Lord. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. So now he says to Philip, hey, yo, Phil, we're in the neighborhood. We're in your hood. Where can we find bread that all of these people may eat? Now, he's trying to find out from Philip, have you understood the supernatural power of the kingdom of God that you're a part of? How many know they had a great work ahead of them when Jesus goes back to heaven, crucifies, resurrects his God, and he leaves them with the Holy Ghost? They have a work to do, but they're not ready yet. Are you with me? They're not ready yet. But Jesus is preparing. Always remember that. When Jesus, there's a work. I need to go, so the Holy Ghost is going to come. And he says, greater works than I've done, you're going to do. How's Philip going to do that? Well, this is the whole journey that all of us are on. And so he's trying to get them prepared to flow in the supernatural, to flow in the kingdom. Now, Philip hears the question, but it's a supernatural question. And if Phil answers it in the natural mind, he lives beneath the circumstances. I believe it's up there. If Phil answers in the supernatural, he lives above the circumstances. Let me repeat it again. If he answers it in the natural mind, he lives beneath the circumstances. Did you get that? He lives beneath the circumstances. But when you answer it supernatural, you live above the circumstances. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, when you trust God, you have faith in God. James says, count it all joy when you go through the fiery trials. What does that mean? We think it's an arithmetic name, arithmetic word. That word literally means govern and control. The word count it all joy means govern and all control. In other words, you don't allow the trial to govern you. Come on, somebody. You govern the trial. That's supernatural. That's what he's saying to Philip and the boys. Now, when you start to live and believe in the power of the supernatural faith, you'll live above your circumstances. Are you hearing me? That's what we're training up here. We're training every one of you up here. That's why you came here today. We came to worship. Praise God. What a beautiful worship Dom does by herself. And thank you for helping us, Rebecca. God bless you for jumping in. It's great. Let's hear it for Rebecca's in the back. And she's a great friend. She goes to a beautiful Sound of Heaven church in Deer Park. And she jumped in today to just help us, because TJ is in Florida with his family. And Lord, touch TJ's father in Jesus' name. They had to rush him to ER. And touch him. But anyway, so don't miss this. When you start to live and believe in the power of the supernatural faith, you will be above your circumstances. You know, natural reasoning never produces a supernatural outcome. Can I say it again? Natural reason does not produce a supernatural outcome. Do you know what faith does to intuitiveness? What does faith do to intuitiveness? What is faith? So, you know what faith does? It flips it. It flips it. Someone say faith flips your reality. Amen? It does. I've worked over the years with individuals, thousands and hundreds of drug addicts and crazy broken people, as I was. And there was times, and we had a policy in our ministry that we don't have a cookie. God doesn't work in a cookie cutter way. And that, of course, we have policies, because when you break the rules and you do something absolutely crazy, it's going to hurt all the other. In Teen Challenge, we have a beautiful group home. It's going to hurt everybody else. And it could destroy them. And so sometimes we had to remove individuals from our home, from our residential care, because they violated something crazy that's going to hurt them. And sometimes you got to make a stand and make a statement. But there's times when intuitiveness says you follow the policies, but I've learned to literally be the opposite and flip intuitiveness. What do I mean? I'll give you an example, and he'll allow me to share this. There was a young man who was in the program, 18. He was 18 years old, and you know, he was a wild guy, and we found out he snuck out, went, got high, did some crazy things, and crawled back into the program in his bed, high as a kite, right? And all of a sudden, so what they had to do, Joe Spolino and the boys, who's the lead worship here, you know, because it was such a violation, and if you don't take a stand, then others will do that. You hearing me? You can't allow that to happen. And so I drove up into the program, and I saw this kid outside with three garbage bags full of clothes. And I walked up to him, and I said, what happened? And he said, and he was honest. He said, I went out, partied all night at some bar, came back drunk, snuck back in, and they kicked me out. So I went, I said, wait here. I went back in the house, and I said, listen. I said, God is telling us to give this kid a second chance. I don't care. I'm not that I don't care. If they don't like it, they'll learn in life that sometimes you have to give grace in a situation. You have to go against policy and procedures, go against intuitiveness, and use spiritual, counterintuitiveness. And we're going to bring the kid home. And I went back outside and I said, come on back in. Do you know who he is? He's Chris Fenley, who has a powerful church over there in North Compass Church. His son is the youth pastor. His life has radically changed. And in that moment of time, God literally rescued him. Why? Because Jesus teaches us to have eyes to see and ears to hear and to do something that's miraculous, spectacular in people's lives. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. Come on. Now, let me get into this, because I'm going down another. Right, so anyway, so the conversation, you got to understand. You know, Philip, you know, where can we get bread? 200 denarii is not enough, not sufficient for everyone. Just to have a little. John 6, the conversation between Jesus and Philip, and so forth. Really, it's with the disciples, and he's teaching them. Mark 6 says, disciples came to him and they said, send them away. Doesn't that sound just like a church? Not this church. Come on, somebody. Someone say, not this church. I've seen that. And it even sounds like some of us. Send them away. What a teaching this is. Amen. It says in Mark 6, send them away. Why? So we don't have to feed them. Are you hearing me? So we don't have to feed them. You know, it's incredible. Listen. However, you know, some churches may like be that, but most churches are not. And I'm thankful that we're not, because guess what? Every Tuesday, we don't send them away. We bring them in. Yeah, we send them away, but they go away with bags of food. Come on, Carolyn and Camille and the gang. Amen? Now, when you want, here's something. I might touch on some toes this morning, so I hope you got some hard feet or hard shoes. Because when we want to bring change to new people, new families, and bring in new generations, and we want to make some changes and brighten up the sanctuary, you can hear the frozen chosen say those seven deadliest words. We've never done it like that before. Come on, somebody. Send them away. Just kidding. You know what the frozen chosen are really saying? Here's what the frozen chosen are really saying. We're fine the way we are. We're very comfortable how we have been and how we have been having church. Amen? Do you know that there's a church that sells tickets to get into the church? Did anybody hear that this week? I'm trying to figure it out. So this is why they did it. Check this out. He had so many old timers that literally were locked in their chairs and wouldn't move out of their chairs. And if you sat in their chairs, you were going or the pastor was going. I'm not kidding. And I'm saying, oh, okay, I'm getting it. He said, so now we sell tickets at a very low price. All you have to do is give your tithes and offering and you get a ticket to sit anywhere you want in our church. I don't know. What do you think, Pastor? I mean, it's crazy. Are you hearing me? But listen, I get it. You know, but I don't agree with it. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? We got to get out of the box. Because, listen, you know, we can't be comfortable where we're at. Because God does a new thing. We preach that God does a new thing. And you've got to understand that the frozen chosen are not going to control the climate of the church. Are you hearing me? Amen? You know, because sometimes you got to make change. And we have. Look, we got to get the Gen Zs. I don't even know how old they are. But the Gen Zs, amen? We got to get the youth of our generation. We got to get the millennials. All right, you, all you baby boomers, we're after you too. But listen, you want to get excited. Let them see something fresh and exciting. And we're doing that. Look at the screens, amen? Look at the new sound system. We got lights up there. And what are we doing? We're making it bring life, and we're making it beautiful and blessed. So when young people come in here, millennials, Gen Zs, who are our future, they're going to come in here and say, this is my church. I'm going to worship the King of Kings, and we'll fill them with love and fill them with destiny. Come on, somebody. Now I couldn't miss that part. Now, understand this. Don't miss this, you know. He said, send them away that they may go buy bread for themselves. So now what was happening? The disciples weren't getting it. Jesus, think about this, was pulling them into the supernatural. And that's our, you know, as a pastor, you know, and our leaders and all of us that serve here in Capac, that's our heart. We want to pull you. We know what you face out there. Come on, somebody. How many know it's tough when you get that American Express bill come sliding in, that PSEG bill, and all that National Grid? Hey, I mean, even the water bill sometimes is a threat to our economy. Amen? How many know that the eggs are rising, the milks are rising? Guess what? That's okay, because that does not control my faith or your faith, because if you seek first the kingdom of God, come on, somebody, all of his righteousness, all things will be added on. Tell your neighbor, God's got this. Amen. So the problem, watch this. You know, we don't have enough money. We have 200 denarii. We won't buy 1,000 pizzas. We can't afford to flip the bill for a dinner of 20K. Are you hearing me? This is what they're saying. And the problem is Philip is answering the wrong question. Don't miss this. Jesus is asking about bread, and Philip is talking about money. Did you get that? Jesus is talking about bread. And Philip is talking about money. And so what? Why? What? Because when Jesus talks about bread, he's talking about the bread of life. Yes, he's talking about food to eat. But he's talking about the one who created the bread. Remember John 1:3. All things are made through him. Come on, somebody. Amen? And I want to let you know something here today. And what is God speaking to us today? You got to just trust God. No matter what things look like, as you're faithful, you're tithing, you're doing what God's called you to do, you're surrendering, you just trust the bread of life because he always comes through. Come on, somebody. That's our Jesus. And so here's the problem. Watch this. Or the problemo. God wants us to have supernatural perspective, and we use our natural reasoning to talk ourselves out of miracles. Are you hearing me? God wants to lead us in supernatural miracles, and we use our natural reasoning and talk ourselves out of the miracle. Woo! Are you hearing me? Someone say, that's good. It's a little quiet in here because we all go through that. We do. Until you get over your natural reasons why it can't be done out of your spirit, you're never going to see all that God can do when you're willing to truly trust him. Come on, somebody. Amen. And don't miss this. In John 6 and in Mark 6, Jesus is challenging all 12 of the apostles. And all 12, watch this, were pointing to the natural problem, and they wanted to provide a natural solution. This is what's in here. This is what Jesus is teaching us. And 90%, how many here know? 90%, if not more. I could probably say 100%, but people might get bent out of shape, I might lose you. 90% of Jesus' mentorship, his teachings and discipleship was on teaching them to have faith and flow in the supernatural. Come, somebody say amen. Do you agree with that? So what's he teaching us? Someone say the same thing. In your life, in your ministry, we're Christians. When you walk in that 7-Eleven, you're a Christian. When you walk into Macy's, you're a Christian. When you get that PSEG bill, you're a Christian. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, when you tithe, don't forget. Come on, Pastor. You're a Christian. Give him some glory. So Jesus was teaching them and you and I to rise above life circumstances. Watch this. Think about that. Rise above life. Listen, to rise above unbelief, to rise above doubt, to rise above the natural, to rise above limitations, to rise above sickness, to rise above afflictions, to rise above broken marriages, to rise above wayward children. Come on, whatever you're going through, Jesus gives us faith to rise. Someone say rise. Hallelujah. And this is where we come to the picture of perfect faith. Let me bring this home. Out of the four Gospels, I chose John 6 because John tells us where the food came from. You ready? Andrew discovers, watch this, because in verse 9 it says, there's a lad. Now watch this. Andrew discovers there's a lad. Philip says, we only have this much money. But Andrew goes like this. He says, but there's a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. He goes, but what can that do? He had it? How many know it? And then kind of let go of it. You with me? He's like, Jesus, come on. You got, Andrew, you should have said it. And if I put it in your hands, you're going to multiply it. You blew it. How many times we go through the same thing? Amen. And so now picture this in your mind. In the midst of all of this commotion, I want to focus on two things. Two things real quick. Of the Passover season, watch this. Thousands of people making their pilgrimage, walking some 9 miles, riding donkeys 9 miles, whatever, to the city of Bethsaida. In all of this noise and chaos of the gathering of 30,000 people, follow me, there's one young boy who pushed through the crowd. Come on, are you with me? And through all the noise and all the drama, just so he can work his way close enough to Jesus so that he can hear the Master. Come on. Come on, we got to push through the noise. We got to push through the crowd. Reminds me of the woman with the flow of blood. She fought through the multitudes and touched the hem of his garment. Amen? And to all the noise, this one boy, and I believe the young boy may have heard the conversation between Jesus and the disciples, right? And so now think about this young boy, this young lad. Someone say lad. So we think he's a teenager. He could be 12 years old. My little grandson is here, and Dominique called me. She forgot to pack his little snack because he's downstairs as they're practicing. And I had to pack him a little sack. Amen. I threw some Gatorade chips in it, and I had a little. So here, my mommy gave him a sack or something. You know, if you're going to go to this thing, I want to go to this thing. I want to go to this thing. Are you hearing me? And then he hears. The faith, think about the faith he has. He comes up to Andrew and says, I got some food if you guys up there are hungry. Are you kidding me? Are you seeing this? I want to meet this kid. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so, I mean, what a power. And I shared, in fact, not this worship on the water, last year's worship on the water. I spoke about this young kid. Because there was a whole lot of young people we were preaching and teaching to. And my title that I mentioned was, Oh, What a Lunch. Someone say, Oh, What a Lunch. Come on, the kid came here. What he had, he gave unto the Lord. I want to tell you something. Whatever you have, I don't care if it's some barley bread or some sardines. You give it to God, God's going to multiply it. Hallelujah. So. Here's a question for all. Are we close enough to hear what Jesus is asking us to do? Or asking us to go? Or has the crowd of all the distractions messed with us? He walked 9 miles, this boy. Amen? Gets close enough. And he gives him the fish. Now, I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know if this can help Jesus, but have it all, it's yours. Did you get that? Have it all, it's yours. Come on. You know, think about that. You know, think, have it, it's yours. And you talk about a picture of perfect faith. That's a picture of perfect faith. Hallelujah. Now, let me just quickly say this. Talk about the barley bread. The barley bread. You know what the barley bread? He had barley bread. You know what barley bread is? It's poor man's bread. It's not wheat. It's barley. They crush wheat and they make bread. This is barley bread. It was cheap bread. Are you with me? It was barley bread. And listen, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it doesn't matter if it's poor man's bread. It does, because don't miss the title of my message. When not enough becomes more enough because Jesus touches it. Barley is grain. It was known as poor man's bread. And so think about Andrew. Hey, we got some poor man's bread and some fish. And Jesus sets up this whole supernatural teaching, you know, because whatever you bring to Jesus, he takes not enough and he makes it more enough. Come on, somebody. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Now, let me just end with this, I promise. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Listen, don't miss this. There's so much in here that I can't focus on. But what Jesus does, he takes the bread and the fish. Remember that. Do you know what the first thing he does? He tells the disciples, listen to this, because this is what he's teaching all of us. Have the people sit down, John 6:1. And the latter half of the verse says, so the men sat down. Now, no words are lost in Scripture, know that. And you've got to understand, because what they were talking about was positioning underneath the authority of Jesus Christ. And when you position yourself underneath the authority of Jesus Christ, the power of miracles are able to come. He sat them down. Moms, dads, especially dads, he said, because he talked to the men. He said, have the men sit under the authority of Jesus Christ. And when men, as husbands so far, sit under the authority of Jesus Christ, the whole household will. Come on, let's hear it for the men of God in the house. Anyway, he was speaking to the women, don't get lost. Now, then, listen to this. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he tells the men to sit down. And what he's saying to them, get in position to receive your miracle. That's what he's saying to everybody. And listen to this. And then supernatural multiplication comes. Watch this. It's very clear. Number one, it says, and when he had give thanks. Pause for a moment, because and we're not over because the best is yet to come. It says, and when he gave thanks, he was thankful for what was not enough. Did you get that? You got to be thankful for your not enough. Because no matter what, it's just enough. And God will turn it into more enough. Did you get that? Some of us complain where we are and where we have. And, you know, and I was speaking to a minister. In fact, I helped raise this young man up, great minister of the gospel. And we spoke to his wife. And I haven't seen him in years. And I said, I don't know why I said this. I said, do you own your own house? I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said it. Just said it. And she goes, whole countenance. I mean, it was joy. I said, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have asked that question. She said, yes, but it's very burdensome. You can't afford the mortgage. There's a lot of work that has in the house. And she said something else. And I wanted to say to her, lift up. Listen, you're blessed. What God has given you. Are you hearing me? What God has given you. I know, maybe it's not enough. But listen, lift it and give thanks to heaven. Come on, how many got that teaching? Now, this was a thank. This is what was, you know, what God was doing. But because he wanted to know now the next step, he takes, listen, Jesus takes the bread, right? And he gives thanks. And here is the most important process I will ever go through or you will ever go through. Watch this. Bible says Jesus blessed it, then he broke it. And what you need to remember is this, that some of the most blessed things in your life are going to be some of the most broken things in your life. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. I want to pray for you all. And I want to focus on this brokenness. Because really this is where God's able to take not enough and turn it into your more than enough. Are you hearing me? This is the conclusion. This is the most powerful. How many here know that whenever Jesus is teaching, I mean, you can just go on and on. And believe me, there was so much more I had to rip out of this message because I didn't want to chase a bunch of incredible dynamic gold nuggets. But listen to this. Don't miss this. Listen. Some of the most blessed things in your life are going to be some of the most broken things. I believe we all have experienced, or we will experience when we ask God to increase us and pray to the Lord that you're going to go through a time of brokenness. I believe when we ask the Lord, bless my business, bless my family, bless my home, bless my life. And here's the deal. This is how God works sometimes, not all the times. Sometimes in the second that you start asking him to bless stuff, he starts breaking stuff. I don't know if you caught that. The second sometimes you start asking him to bless stuff, he starts breaking stuff. It's like, what the heck is going on? Are you with me? And why? Why? You know, here it is. Because he can't increase until he breaks it. Why? Because if he leaves it like it is, you'll tell yourself, you did it. So look what I did with the business. No, it wasn't until he broke your business is when he started to multiply your business. Come on, somebody. Amen? Look at how we fixed our marriage. Look at how we fixed our marriage. It wasn't until he broke your marriage that you saw his hand of grace and mercy and he was able to fix your marriage. Come on, somebody. Oh, give him a shout of faith. Listen, it's not until he starts breaking things in your life that he starts multiplying things in your life. Don't ask him for the blessing and not expect the breaking. Woo! That's good stuff. Listen. Don't ask him for the blessing and not expect the breaking. Hallelujah. Because when he blesses it and he breaks it, then he multiplies it. Hallelujah. God's going to do that. Listen, if God can take a little lad's lunch, a happy meal, come on, a happy meal, and lift it to heaven and let it go to God and break it and feed 20 or 30,000 people. He can do it again. He can do it again. He can do it again. Come on. That's what God does. So I think this message, listen, what God takes not enough and makes it more enough. How many here say there's something you want to lift up to heaven? Because let's lift it up here. Here's, I have a note here. Let them do it. Let them do it. Amen. Let them do it. Abraham had to lift up Isaac. Am I right? And what it did, broke Abraham and it broke Isaac. And God blessed it. If you're here today, I want you to come up with us right now. Doesn't matter what it is. You need something broken. Your business, your job, your family. Come on up. Let's just pray a prayer together. Take a step of faith out of your comfort zone and just come on up and lay it at the altar. We're going to join you in prayer as we are led by this song. Come quickly. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All together. Amen. Could we lift our hands toward heaven? And whatever it is, it says he took the bread, lifted it, and he thanked the Lord for it. For the happy meal, for the little, some barley bread and some fish. Whatever yours is, your situation, your whatever that is, that you need God to multiply, to break. I want to just pray with you because I have a bunch of stuff I'm lifting up. So remember I said, when you come to church, you got to expect God. And we walk out of here as children of the kingdom of God. And there's certain things as children of the kingdom of God, we have to lift up toward the King. So today, Lord, we lift up all of these needs, their burdens, some things, God, we don't see, that we see them as not enough. We see them as insufficient. We may see them as things that hinder us. But God, we thank you for the little things. We thank you, God, that for the not enough things that we have. We lift it up to you and we break it, God. We spiritually break it. And God, when we let it go to you and you break it, you multiply it and turn it into blessedness. And if you believe that, could we give Jesus a big shout of thanksgiving? Hallelujah! Amen. How many here know? God's doing a new thing in our lives. Amen. When you leave out of here today, Jesus wants us to know that we are children of the kingdom of God. We have faith. We have power. We have the anointing. We have authority. And use that in every fleshly thing you experience and every crazy thing you experience. Shake it off. Come on, somebody. And remember who you are and what you got. Come on. May the Lord bless you. We love you. Be filled. Invite somebody to church next Sunday for a word of faith. Amen. Matthew, be blessed.